God. Amen. Go to Psalm 55 or 22. Yeah, we had a farewell to Josh Kitchigazik today, 22 years old, passed into eternity. And had the service at the Harborview Chapel. And so we're able to minister there a little bit. And I was booked in two places to do a funeral. With kind of unusual to be booked in two places. Somebody called and said, "Hey, how come you're in two places at one time?" And so Pastor Ken was able to take that service and do Abe's. I was really not, I actually wanted to be there for that funeral because I know Abe for a number of years, and Max, and I wanted to give honor there as well. So anyway, you can't be in two places, but you're here tonight in this house. So, how many of you know Josh? How many of you actually remember Josh? So some of you remember Josh, but anyway, this is a young man, and he's gone to be with the Lord. So we hope that's what our hope is. Amen. We don't preach somebody into hell, or we don't preach them into heaven either. Let God does that himself. Amen. So we let God. You know, funerals are for people that are there attending, the people who are grieving. That's what a funeral for. The funeral is not for the dead one. He's already gone. The person's gone. So what you minister to the hearts and minds of the people, because they need to have some hope. A lot of times when people die, people get shaken. They're afraid, and they say, "What if I die next? And what if happens? What if my mom dies, or my spouse dies, or what's going to happen to me if I die? I don't know anything about eternity. What happens when you die?" So there's all kinds of questions about that. So we minister to that, and so I told my wife I should actually teach on it sometime. What happens when someone dies, and so on. So anyway, I've done a lot of funerals. I say a lot of funerals the last couple of years. People with who overdose on drugs and who drank too much and died early because if they drank too much. And so most of them were addictions. And you don't have to die early. Amen. You don't have to die early. And sometimes the Bible tells us, Scripture tells us, we have something to do. Actually, we have a lot to do with dying, how long we live. You just ask the medical science, the medical people. They tell you exercise. Don't drink too much pop or something like that, or do something, get happy. Stop being so stressed out. You could do something about it tonight. Amen? And stop eating chicken late at night. Where's Ernie? He's eating a box of chicken every night. Anyway, that's good. That's enough for me. But anyway, thank God that you're here tonight. Let's go to Psalm 55. Psalm 55, 22. Let's see. Okay, there you go, Kendra. Okay, Psalm 55, verse 22. I'm reading the King James Version. "Cast thy burdens upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee." Everybody say, "Sustain."
Sustain.
"He shall sustain thee, and he shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." Let's go ahead in prayer. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for your precious word. Your word is alive. Your word is anointed. And we thank you, Lord God, for people to be listening. I pray that they be open in their hearts and open up in their minds and help them to see the scriptures by your power of your Holy Spirit. Enlighten every eye and give people a quickening. And help them to be obedient to your word as they begin to yield to you in Jesus' name. And help us to understand in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 55, 22, the Amplified Bible says, cast your burdens on the Lord, or burden on the Lord. Does anybody have a burden? What's a burden? Well, a burden is something heavy, pressing on you. Stresses, anxieties, worries, is whatever is bothering you. The Bible says to do something with that. It says cast your burden upon the Lord. That gives you this kind of a perspective that you're going to throw this burden off yourself and onto the Lord. And so that's what you're going to do. Notice it says releasing the weight of it. So these burdens are heavy things, are weights that you cannot run. How many people understand if you got burdens, it's hard to follow God and follow His plan if you're full of weights, full of burdens. You can't follow God if you got so much pressure, financial pressure on your life. You can't go out to missions. You can't go evangelistically serving God. You can't even think right. You can't serve God. You're busy thinking about the burdens. You can't pay attention to your wife or your children because you're so heavy weighted down financially. Somebody said they're so poor, they can't pay attention. You ever hear about that? Yeah. So releasing the weight of it, in other words, it's up to you and I tonight to release this to God. You know, a lot of times people say, pray for me. And, we agreed we would like to pray for them, but some people, I don't take them that seriously anymore because they want to pray about the same thing for the last 25 years. I talked to somebody today for the last 30 years that I've been pastor, like 25 years at least, and I've known that person for many years, and they're telling me the same problem they had. And I said, you know what, listen, you've been telling me that for 25 years. And they started fighting me. I said, you know what, it's impossible for me to actually believe what you're saying, because you said you're going to change how many times now? How many times you got that problem? You haven't released it yet, so you got to learn. So you don't come to church, they don't listen to me, don't come to Wednesday night, don't come to Sunday, don't come to participate in the programs we have here, but they want me to pay attention to them. Praise God, nice and quiet here. But you see, people, they want your time, but they don't want to come here and listen when the anointing is here. When I'm in my office, that's the anointing on me. But if I'm paying my bills at the bank, there's no anointing on me at that time. And so I'm just me paying my bill. So come and hear the word. Praise God. Amen. So he says, we go read on, Amplified. He said, He will sustain you. And that's what we want if we cast our burden upon the Lord. Release the weight of it. He will sustain you. He will never allow the consistently righteous to be moved. The word to be moved gives us, the Amplified gives us a little meaning, more shade of a greater meaning on it. It says, made to slip, fall or fail. The King James doesn't give you that. But, the Amplified Bible gives you the text from, the original language and gives us into our version of what we can understand. If you read the King James, it says, He shall never suffer the righteous to suffer the righteous to be moved. You never use the word suffer every day like that. But so when you read it from another version, you understand what he's talking about. So we don't want to have burdens on our hearts every day. The same thing that you've been worried about year after year after year, having the same care. So God wants us to do something with it. God wants us to cast this care upon the Lord. He wants us to throw it up on Him because we're not supposed to carry loads. You're running down the road and there's heaviness. It's very hard to be happy with heavy, heavy hearts all the time. So God doesn't want you to live heavy with heavy hearts tonight. Amen? So cast your burden upon the Lord and He shall sustain you. As I mentioned to you, the weight here, it talks about weights. Those are things that are affecting your life, and we need to learn how to run our own race. Run the race that God called you to. And it's very hard for us to run the race that God has called us. If God called you to do any kind of missions or any kind of work of the ministry, to work here in this church as a ministry, like you have to open up your mind. This is a ministry. What we're doing here is a ministry to our city and to our nation. We have a national ministry that runs television programs several times a week. We have we're on locally on global television right here in our city, and it goes right across Canada. Wherever global television is seen, we're on right up into BC, right over to Newfoundland. And we need people to help this man right there. See what he's doing right there? Somebody could be doing that. He doesn't have to be there. Amen. See what he's doing right now? Somebody else could be doing that. And look how heavy he is. He's getting weighed down. Look how shapely he looks from this side. He looks wonderful, doesn't he? But anyway, sorry about that. I didn't mean to say it that way. I mean, he might do something with my television program tonight. I don't know. But you know, we are a ministry, and God, if God called you here, there's something for you to do. Amen. You know, I realize if you're busy, sometimes you don't see you for weeks on end. You know, if you don't come to church regularly, Sunday and Wednesday, whenever we open the door, I mean, the doors are open for you. And if you don't come, you're disobedient to God. And it can cost you. It can cost you a lot in many ways. So we have to understand that. Sometimes we don't understand that. We think, oh, you know, the doors are open. I can go when I want to go. Well, yes and no. But if God wants you, say if I'm preaching on an area where God wants you to, he wants you to hear, I believe that God has ordained steps of everybody. The Bible says that righteous are ordained of the Lord. Psalm 34 says that the steps of every person, every man, woman, and child, God has ordained so they can walk along a certain path. Along a certain path. And avoid certain troubles. You know, Ephesians 2:10, if you look at it in the Amplified Bible, he said God had preordained a certain way for you to go. A certain path. He's ordained, preordained a certain activity and certain ministry and certain kind of things that you have to do and be a part of. You know, people say, you know, yeah, I can be a good Christian at home. You can be a good Christian at home. When you work with people every day, that's where you find out whether or not you're a good Christian, because if you can't get along with people, there's something wrong. I can't stand so-and-so. Well, there's something wrong with your attitude. So we have to adjust ourselves, and that's why we have training sessions. We have monthly training sessions, or we did have training sessions. We just kind of switched the times right now. And training sessions help people to adjust their mentality. Good time to give yourself, you know, change your attitude about certain things. And so I understand, you know, you and I have gone to different kinds of meetings to help ourselves. So when I sit in that meeting room, I listen to people and I listen to the readings and listen to people's comments. My mind is starting to, you know, click in, and like most of my problems is my own fault. And because of the way I'm thinking. And a lot of times the decision we make is very selfish anyway. Especially when someone dies, people cry. They're crying for themselves most of the time. What am I going to do without him? We all get hurt, right? We all feel pain. Sure, that's wonderful, but there's a part of it. There's a part of people's lives, you know. We need, you know, especially if someone's real old, they're dying, and you're crying over them over a long, long time. Hey, listen, they live 85, 30, 90 years. They need to go home. They're tired. Let them go. So thank God. Now, God wants to sustain us through all that stuff, all that kind of stuff. Turn to Hebrews 11 for a second. I want to show you something here. I believe the Spirit of God is going to speak to you on this one. No, did I say Hebrews? Okay, Hebrews. Just checking. Don't get hostile. Okay. I thought we would have a riot here. Hebrews chapter, let's go here, chapter 12. If you're burdened down with troubles, it's hard to walk with God. It's hard to obey God if you're so full of financial need. You're afraid to make any kind of walk with God, take a step of faith. You're afraid to follow God because you're so burdened with financial financial things. And God doesn't want you to do that. He wants you to be free to obey Him and follow Him when he says go and do something. Sometimes you might not even know what He wants you to do in full picture. Notice here, it says, I'm reading the King James over here, Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing that we're also compassed about with so great cloud of witnesses. You know, those witnesses are people in heaven. You know, understand this, that people can know spiritually where you're at in heaven. They can know how you're progressing here spiritually. And the Bible tells us that these people, you know, not only the heroes of faith, but people in heaven, you know, can know somewhat. They don't know everything. So we're a cloud of witnesses. Notice this is, let us lay aside every weight. So we're saying that, you know, the Amplified 22? Cast thy burden upon the Lord, he shall sustain thee. The Amplified Classical Edition says, cast your burden upon the Lord, releasing the weight of it. Now, this verse, this Hebrew says there, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does thee beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set us before us. So sometimes when we're trying to follow God, all right, yeah, we want to obey God, but we have these burdens that we haven't taken to God, and we can't follow God because we're so burdened with financial need. We're so burdened with our relationship with people. Some folks cannot obey God because one of the other partner can't follow God the way you want to walk. That's why I tell people, marry the ones who are fully immersed in the things of God. They're going to trust God 100%. It's hard to follow God if your spouse doesn't want to follow God. I know there's people sitting in this very room, they can't follow God 100% because their husband and wife are not with them. It's hard to follow God that way. And so we try to tell people, prepare people, like if you're going to marry somebody who's just as crazy for Jesus as you are. Love God. You know, Mark Hankins always said, you know, you need to find at least 4 crazy friends if you're going to believe God for something, right? Like the guys with the 4 people that are carrying, you know, the paralyzed man on the roof. I was always thought about if he didn't want to go on the roof, he probably didn't have a choice somewhat. You know, how are you going to fight back? But anyway, they took him on the roof and they laid him before Jesus. They said, you know, this guy needs healing. And Jesus looked at them and said, these guys, Jesus saw their faith. So here's something, as we mentioned here, this is what I'm trying to put to you, is that when we're trying to follow God, you know, His plan for this year, if you want to rule and reign, you're going to have to start obeying God. And last night we talked about this in Bible school. We talked about, you know, bibliology and theology. We're talking about, you know, understanding God and understanding, looking into the scripture of how God, how He is, how He makes decisions and stuff, and how He created the world. And we talked about bibliology. Bibliology is about learning about what's in here, learning about the kind of instructions or teachings that's contained in these Bibles, in this Bible, for us to understand and learn so that we can appropriate this true Word of God to our lives. For instance, people just want to live the way they want to live and take scriptures out of context and apply it to their lives when they get into trouble. Let's go over here, Romans chapter 8 for a second. Romans chapter 8. Let's go to what's that verse of scripture, Miss Anita? I'm looking for. Remember the scripture with 28. Okay, 28. If you go to verse 28, so we're talking about. Notice here, likewise the Spirit, verse 26, helpeth our infirmities. See, that's why you need a good wife, so you can ask a question if you forgot the verse you're at. Sometimes she come running to me and said, "Honey, where's that scripture you're talking about?" You know, and just like this, I'm just doing something, and she asked me a question, and she comes and runs to me from nowhere. Ask me, where's that scripture? And all of a sudden pops out of me the scripture. Just like that. You know? And so sometimes I have to do it for her. So she was quick to understand that scripture. It's good to have a wife like that, I'm telling you. He said, no, it's, honey, where's my socks? You find your own socks. Likewise, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings. That's speaking in tongues, which cannot be uttered or cannot be articulated in known language. And he that searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints, the Holy Spirit does, for the saints according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit prays in this special language. When you start speaking in tongues, you start speaking God's will from your heart, but the Spirit of God is doing it through you. So you have to have faith that's taking place. But if you don't believe it, it's not happening. You got to believe it. It takes faith. You know, the best way to exercise faith is to pray in tongues. Because you have to use your faith. You have to exercise your spirit. Exercising your spirit is praying in tongues. When the Lord quickens me, I pray in tongues. Could be like 5 seconds or 10 seconds or 30 seconds. I just pray in tongues. Now, look at this. Verse 28, this is where we wanted to go. The rest of those two other scriptures are free, so we're not going to charge anything for that tonight. Verse 28 says, and we know, notice this, all things work together for good. So people, they say the scripture, and they're not obedient to God, but they say, well, all things work together for those who love God. But loving God, Jesus translates loving God is when you obey God. When God quickens something to you in your life to change something in your life, you must obey God, or else you'll be in disobedience. You obey God by reading the scriptures, the logos, and read the scriptures. And when you see something in there that you need to do, then you do it because the word tells you to do it. Sometimes the Holy Spirit quickens your spirit and tells you something that what you're doing is wrong, and you disobey that, that's called disobedience. So you have to understand, it's the word and the spirit. So you can't just go around and misappropriate the scripture and say, listen, you know, God is going to sustain me, and you're living in disobedience and doing what you want to do, and, you know, you don't care about anything else except yourself. You're living very selfishly, and perhaps, you know, and so... And you just go ahead and do what you want to do. You say, okay, God, all things work together for those who love God. It's not going to work good for you if you don't follow what God says to do. And so that scripture, we're reading Romans 8:28, is speaking for those people who actually love God, who actually follow God, who actually want to listen to the Spirit, who actually read their Bibles and follow the will and plan of God. If you're going to be sustained in this year, you're going to have to start following the scriptures. If the Bible says go to church and find a church where you can be part of a Christian community and be part of that and have a pastor look over you. Have somebody like my staff and us, you know, we work in this ministry and we know the diet of the spiritual diet that people need and activities. And so when you come into that, you come onto that particular, you know, position of the Spirit of God that's going to minister to you. I believe that God leads people. Leads as many as are led. Romans chapter 8 over here, verse 14 says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. If you're a child of God, God will lead you wherever he wants you to go. He'll lead you and he'll feed you whatever you need for that particular time. No, sometimes, listen to this. Sometimes God, you know, God knows the future. And you'll be sitting here for 5 weeks or something, listening to the word every night, and all of a sudden something happens in 5 week time, and you're already prepared for that situation to come because I've been feeding you the word of God. Hallelujah. And you're not going to try to scratch your way trying to find people about what to do. The pastor's already given you by the Spirit of God on a Wednesday night to give you the answer, what you needed. I only got one amen over here. I was telling my wife, you know, this lady, you know, we've been knowing each other how many years? Long time. See, yeah, it's a long time. She was a young woman. Well, before, like long time, and now she still looks good. But I'm telling you, we've done a long time. We've been praying together and so on. But God has sustained you different times. What would have happened if you didn't have the word? It's amazing what God will do in your life, right? God will help you. Now, let's go to another scripture. Philippians 4:19. Everybody remember Philippians 4:19, what it says there? God shall supply half of your needs. He once in a while. Look at this scripture. Verse 19. So we want to be sustained. We want to rule as kings. I put on my status the other day, you know, on my Facebook. If you're following my Facebook, I always put something there that for people to think about. Not just, you know, pictures of my dog. I put my picture of my dog in there. Some people like to hear me talk about my dog. I say my dog because I take care of him most of the time. So Romans 5:17, the common English Bible, for every common English person over here. The last section of that verse of Scripture says, we will live and rule as kings. The Amplified says, we'll rule here in this life right now as a king. As a king. And the way you rule, like, you know, it talks about ruling as a king. We will rule. Now, the King James says, we reign in this life. We reign. The word reign connotes or gives us meaning or just, you know, picture in your mind that a king, you know, reigning is about kingship and authority and dominion. So you as a Christian, God has given each one of you authority and dominion in your own life. Some people don't use their authority as much as they should be using authority because they don't know enough. They haven't been reminded enough coming to church. They think all they have to do is go to some kind of a pastor or some spiritual and ask them to pray. No, you should be praying for yourself. And I've been saying that for years. I'm going to continue to say it. Like, you know, you should pray for yourself. Every one of your needs, you should be praying for yourself. You're a grown up baby from the babyhood stage, and you have to learn how to depend on your own faith. The day you grow up is like, hey, I can pray for myself. I can call myself well. If the devil's bugging me, he doesn't bug me. I get rid of him because he doesn't come around my house. If he does, I start worshiping God. He don't stick around very long. I tell him where to go. I said, go visit Maxine. And then he gets a good licking over there. Then he goes over somewhere else. Right? Well done. So you know, understand. So we rule. We rule. The way we rule, if we're going to be sustained in life, we're going to have to start using your mouth to rule. A king decrees something by saying it. And you have to say something in your life for something to happen in your life. And we have to say what the Bible says if you're going to be sustained. No matter how bad it is in your life, no matter how bad you feel, no matter what the doctor said to you, no matter what happened, no matter what the economic situation says to you, to say what the Bible says about your life. I got to preach harder tonight. I feel like I got to preach really hard because I'm going up a hill here. You can help me once in a while by saying, thank God, amen. Can you lift your hands together and say, thank God. Say, I'm being fed tonight. Say, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, glory to God. Glory I'm to learning. God. No, go to Philippians 4:19. Do you have it up there? There it is. Can't you see it? By faith, I see it. Look at that, Philippians 4:19. There it is. Let's go ahead and read it together. 1, 2, 3. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He doesn't say anything there about the mill shutting down or your workplace shutting down. No matter what happens, God's going to supply your need. Whether or not that's closed down or not, God's going to supply your need. What do you need? He said, well, I'm not having my needs, but well, you're not believing something. How are you going to rule? How are you going to sustain yourself? How are you going to follow God if you got no money? Hello? You can't follow God if you got no money. You can't put, you know, you got no shoes. I can't go across town. I got only these runners over here. We have to follow God wherever he says to go. Now, Philippians 1:19, in context, is speaking about those people who give financially to God's ministry. Now, you can take that out of context and say, yeah, Philippians 4:19 says, God shall supply all my needs according to riches and glory. Yeah, that's true. God does supply everything we have. But that scripture doesn't talk about you right now. Have you been giving in ministry? Have you been giving to the church? Have you given your tithes and offerings? Have you been doing that kind of stuff? Now, you can supply your own need. You can buy yourself a car. You can go buy yourself a set of clothes. But you're supplying your own need. You can do that yourself. God doesn't have to be a part of that. And people say, well, you know, I don't tithe, so look at what I'm doing. I got this and that. Yeah, but, you know, one day you'll find out for sure. You're probably full of weight and everything, heaviness, because you think that you have to do all the work, you know, because, you know, just be free about it. God owns everything anyway. I told you, you know, I said to you before, like, that's why I don't take offerings, because that's the way I speak. Because people say, well, he already spoke, you know, he took offering. Why should I listen to him for the next 30 minutes? That's why I don't take offerings. That's why I let the happy Dave come over here, hop around here, and tell you stuff. Now, he's good at it. He'll tell you stuff in a way that he'll help you out, right? God will help him, too. He's at work tonight. Amen. So Philippians 4:9, watch this over here. Verse 11, not that I speak of respect, for I have learned whatsoever state I am to be content. I know about how to be abased and know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed to be full and to be hungry, both to be abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Thank God for that, notwithstanding that you have well done, that you have communicated with me my affliction. Now you Philippians know that in the beginning of the gospel, which when I departed from Macedonia, that no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, I desire a fruit that may abound to your account. There's an account that God takes account. When you give, God has this accounting system for you. When you give, there is something happens when you start giving to God in heaven. He says, but I have all and abound. I'm full and having received Epaphroditus, the thing which he sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply. He goes on, my God shall supply. How many people know when you give to God, it comes out as praise? When you give to God, when you give, write a check and you give to God, it comes up as praise to God. God smells that and takes it all in. You remember over there in the book of Acts, I believe it's in the 10th chapter, where a man, an Italian man from an Italian band, you remember that? Well, it was not that kind of band, it was some kind of other band. But anyway, his name was Cornelius, and the Bible said he always gave money to God's work, the work of God, and he gave to the poor. And the Bible said that order came up to God, and God remembered him. You know, you have to understand, this year when you're giving, understand that's coming up to God as a sweet smell. You're writing a check to Spirit Alive. You're writing a check to Faith City Church or wherever church you're at or wherever ministry you give, it comes up as an order to God. And because you're giving to God, God will sustain your house. God will sustain you. And if you're going to use your energy to work and in the wherever you're working, you won't have the flu. Now, I'm going to, give me about 6 minutes. We talked about Psalm 91. Let's go to Psalm 91, and let's read maybe 4 verses, and we're going to shut her down. Buckle up. We're coming down now. Everybody, buckle up. We're coming down. This is your captain speaking. We're coming up. We're coming up to, we're descending. We're coming back down a little bit. Don't you feel those bumps? Did you feel those turbulence when I start preaching? You go. Eh? It's a, you know, especially when you talk about giving and all that. I can't hear him. What did he say? Psalm 91. Psalm 91. Okay, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High, who's the Most High? God is the Most High. Shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. God, he casts a big shadow. And when you come under him, you only come under him when you start obeying him, walking with him, under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord. Everybody say, I will say of the Lord. Say, I will say of the Lord. You know, whatever you say is going to happen in your life. Jesus said in Mark 11, 23, he said, whatsoever you say, you shall have what you say. Because you said it. It's not what your wife says. It's not what anybody else says. It's not what the preacher said. It's what you've been saying in your life every day. You say, oh, I'm going done. I'm going to get sick again. Oh, how can we ever help these kids of ours? How can, you know, they're always doing this. They're always doing that. My husband, I was doing that. They never listen. We never get any favors. Don't say that. Because whatever you're saying is happening in your life, and the devil goes to work right away. He has free course in your life. Whatever you say, he's going to work. And in Numbers chapter 14 and verse 27, God said, whatever you say will happen in your life. Tell yourself when you're weak, say, I'm strong. The Bible says, let the weak say, I'm strong. Amen. Just say it. Say, I'm strong. Don't say, well, every Christmas I get lonely. You know, just say, no, thank God, I'm happy. I'm just the most happiest Christmas ever. And nobody ever comes to your house, say, praise God, everybody's coming over. Just get dressed up, act like somebody's coming. Amen? And you're sitting there, praise God, thank you for coming over, people. I just called this meeting. I just put a good roast in there. We're going to have a good eat tonight. We're going to just open up the presents and stuff. Didn't you know I bought you something? Then they'll take you to the hospital. They won't take it to hospital. Yeah, you're acting in faith. I will save the Lord. What are you going to say? He is my refuge. You need refuge? Well, say, God's my refuge. He's going to help me. And when the devil talks to you, talk back to him. Say, listen, I know I feel sick right now. I know what the doctor says, but I want to tell you something. Jesus is my healer. God's my healer. I know the bank account. I know the bank account is gone and I have lost the bills, but God will supply my need. I'm on his side. He's helping me right now. Hallelujah. Woo! Woo! Glory to God. Amen. I will save the Lord. He's my refuge. He's going to come and help me out. Amen? He's my fortress. The devil can't get at you. He can't come to you. The Bible says, you know, to make the devil mad, just go ahead and give an offering. He goes, Amen? I think you should dig in your pocket. Not in somebody else's pocket, your pocket, and start giving the money away or something. He's my God. In him will I trust. You're going to not trust in yourself. Don't look to your husband and look to your wife. Look to God. He is your refuge. He is your shield. He is your fortress. If you trust God, another way of saying it is you're going to rely on him. You're going to depend on him. He's going to show up. Yeah. And you're going to put confidence in him, in his word, that whatever he said to do, he's going to do. Now, I know the devil comes to everybody, and he's looking for a weak time in your life. He's going to talk to you when you have the weakest moments in your life and tell you it's not going to work, it's not working at all, when it's actually working. And most people start believing it, and so they get weaker and weaker and weaker. The Bible says that about, you know, our father Abraham in Romans chapter 4, the Bible says there that he became strong in faith, giving glory to God, Romans 20. Now, he was convinced that God, whatever God said he'd do, he's going to do it. So you and I have to be really convinced that God, whatever his word says, he's going to do what he said he's going to do. He's not like, you know, your cousin. He said he's going to come and show up and help you shovel snow, but he never showed up. Amen. And he talks about there, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noise and pestilence. Verse 4. Look at all these things over there. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid or terror of night, nor the arrow that fly by day. Verse 5 is talking about the time that this man, what's his name? David. Yeah, David. David, he became king, right? And then he's standing there. The king took a shot at him, and an arrow came right by his head. And he knew that God protected him. The king is taking an arrow, shooting him right in his house. He's in the guy that's trying to kill him. He's right there, but God was there. He's in the fortress. And you and I this year can say that God is your fortress. If you begin to say it, God will protect you. Next time you go on the ice for L, you said, I'm not going to get hurt this year. I'm not going to be injured this year. This young girl, I knew her since she was a little girl. She's a hockey star at Lakehead University. She's my star anyway. I want to get her to sign a card. You better sign a card and give it to me. I'm going to put it in my office. Amen. She's going places. So arrow that shall fly by day. So you're not going to be afraid of any of these things. Why? Because God is your shelter. He's no matter what happens to you, you're going to say this. Now I want you to go. We'll close down. There's a whole bunch of things happening in there. If you read in there, there's a whole pile of stuff happening. Let's go to verse 16. We'll come back to this because we're going to stay on this for a little bit. Go to 16. Now this man can say this. He said, with long life will he satisfy him. He's talking about you and I and himself. With long life will he satisfy. You're not going to just live and be lonely all your life. You're gonna just enjoy life. The Bible says in John chapter 10 that Jesus came to give his life, give it more abundantly. Another scripture says about that same verse of scripture, he comes that you might enjoy life. You're not enjoying life at times because you're not following what God said to follow. And because you're believing the lies and you're not following God, oh, you're going to run out of money. Oh, you don't have enough energy. Or you're going to go crazy. Or, you know, whatever he tells you in your mind. I mean, the devil talks to everybody the same way. He said, you know, you're not going to make it. You know, you're going crazy. You're going to lose. You're reading that Bible too much. You lose your mind. Well, thank God you lost your mind. You were cuckoo before. Yeah, with long life will I satisfy him and show my salvation. You know, he can say that because all those things, God sustained him all through the troubles. And this year, God will sustain you. I'm going to close with this verse of scripture. Everybody stand up. Hallelujah. Is there any musicians in the house? Anybody here that can sing a song? Or two or three. I want you to notice Psalm 34:19. Psalm 34:19. I want you to understand you will have trouble, but God will sustain you. Faith doesn't make troubles go away or that they won't exist in your life, but faith will make sure that you go through every trial. And when we make trouble for ourselves, don't blame the devil. Be honest with it. You caused it yourself. And maybe the devil, yes, he took advantage of your mistake. See, I'm coming over. I'm you know, getting out of it. Psalm 34:19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. That word afflictions is talking about trials, struggles, difficulties. Now, you might have a whole pile of them. You might have many of them this year. You might not even have very many. But no matter what trial it is, you might have the biggest trial of your life. But I want you to understand, I want to forewarn you, everybody here, and those that are watching online right now, I want to forewarn you, I want to tell you something, that afflictions, God will deliver you out of some of them. That's what it says, all of them. All of them. Next time you have trouble, they say, God, He's going to do it again. Say, He's going to do it again. He say, He'll do it again. And He'll do it again. So I want you, I want to forewarn you, next time you have trouble, don't do good. Where's Joyce Meyer hotline? Where's the Benny Hinn hotline? Or Huntley Street? No, you got Jesus right there with you. God, the Holy Spirit living inside of you. Angels are waiting around for your instructions, for you to begin to say something and put them to work. I think we did a good job tonight, didn't we? Amen. I think we just soared up higher. Now we're down on the ground. Praise God. Amen. Lift that hand and start thanking God together. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. Your mighty power and glory, we thank you. This year is going to be an awesome year. I'm ruling and reigning in my life. I'm ruling over every devil. I'm ruling over every situation, bad situation come against me. I'm ruling over my own mind and my own body. I'm telling myself what to think. I'm telling myself what to do. I'm telling myself we must obey God. We thank you, Lord. We dedicate our lives to you together right now. So everybody here, to say, Lord, I dedicate my heart to you, to do your will, your plan, and your purpose, with your help of your Holy Spirit and all your holy angels. I'm going to make it. I'm not going to fall. I'm not going to slip. I'm going to run the race that's set before me. Jesus, I give you my all. You're my Lord and my Savior. You're my baptizer, my financier, my strengthener, my God, and I'm trusting you. Woo! Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Give him a shout offering of praise. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord God. Amen. Whatever you are, hold close for a second, one moment. If you're here right now, you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, or you've been away from God, this is an excellent opportunity right now to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life again. Maybe you've been saved before. If there's somebody here that said, Jesus, I want to come back to you. I want to get saved. If you've been saved before, fine. If you've walked away from God before and you haven't been right with God, this is a good time right now. You say, I'm coming back to God. I'm going to walk with God. Yes, I'm a Christian. Yes, I spoke with tongues. Yes, I believe in the Holy Spirit and so on, but I have not obeyed God the way I should. I want to step on His faith. I want to walk closer. I want to have more victory. I want to rule and reign in my life. If that one's here right now, I want to see your hand way up high. Lift it way up high. Say, that's me right now. Anybody else? Anybody else? Come on up here right now. I want to pray with you and stand with you in the name of Jesus. I'm going to agree with you as your man of God, as your representative here with the Word of God. I am a witness right now that you're going to obey God. You're going to follow God with all your heart, all your mind. Whatever God said to do, you'll do it. You're going to be quick to follow Him in the name of Jesus. Lift your hands and surrender. Say, God, I'm all yours tonight. I'm giving you my spirit, soul, and body. Whatever you said to do, I'm going to do it. Where you said to go, I'm going to go. Wherever you say to stay, I'm going to stay. I'm not going to be moved by circumstances. I'm only moved by the Word of God. I'll tell myself what to do, and I'm going to tell myself to worship God and to read my Bible and to obey God in Jesus' name. Let me just pray for you. Father, I just pray for my friend in the name of Jesus. The anointing of God's on you, sir. Thank you for the anointing of God's on you as well. The power of God breaking chains loose. Chains are being broken right now. I see them. They're big, fat chains, huge ones. You couldn't break them yourself, but God said tonight, this is the end of it. This is where it is. You've left it. It's gone in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Glory.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God in the name of Jesus. You're free. Free to rule and reign in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Someone stuck a pin in your heart by the Spirit, but God says, I'm pulling that out right now. You're free in the name of Jesus. Ha! Go ahead and laugh at the devil, because it's no longer the same thing. I saw a pin, a giant pin going right through your heart, and God said, I'm pulling this out right now. In the name of Jesus, you're free. I don't know what happened, but it's between you and God. Does that ring a bell for you? That's it, you're done. Amen? Praise God. Let's give God praise, everybody. Hey! He's good. He's good.